I don't know if you've ever had the sensation that the preacher was preaching right at you. Well, if you ever had that sensation, you can kind of relax this morning. I'm preaching right at me this morning. The message, of course, every message speaks to me like I hope it does to you. But the message that God's laid upon my heart today is, or it's directed at me, but it's something we can all use. And as I was studying this, I was like, okay, God, do you want me to preach this, or is this just for me? You know, I want you to share it, but it's definitely for you. And it's on something that every Christian should have. Something that every Christian should have. And of course, there's a long list of things there. You know, we know about all the fruit of the Spirit, the joy, the peace, the love, and all those things. But there's one thing that we as Christians should have that, sadly, very few of us really do have, and even those of us that do have it, struggle to keep it from time to time. And that is an attitude, or let me put it this way, a victor's attitude. Now, I didn't say a victim's attitude, I said a victor's attitude. A lot of times, in fact, I was talking to somebody the other day, me and another guy was talking to him, and that other person walked away, and he said, did you kind of get the feeling they have a victim's attitude? I said, oh, they definitely have a victim's attitude. Everybody's out to get them. Everything's against them. We all know how people are that have that attitude. But we as Christians ought to have a victor's attitude. Now, let me say this up front. I'm talking to the believers today. I'm talking to those of us that have already received Jesus Christ as our Savior. If you've never been saved, I want to encourage you before the day's over. That's the most important thing you can do. That is absolutely the most important. But I'm talking to the Christians today. Why don't you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. While you're turning there, let me give you something to pray about also. God has been dealing with me on where to go on the preaching from here for a while. And right now it seems like we're being led toward the book of Ephesians. And again, I don't know if we're going to do that verse by verse, chapter by chapter, or how we're going to do it. But if God continues to lead, we'll be starting that next week. And there's also some other things he's dealing with me about. So we may have some interludes into the book of Ephesians and chase some other topics. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 51, Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. Now, let me stop right there a second. A lot of times we as Christians think God keeps the mysteries from us. Or if you study the Bible, you're going to find out that God says he is here to reveal mysteries. That the Holy Spirit has been given to us to reveal the deep things of God, the secret things of God. And what Paul is actually saying here, to kind of break that word mystery down, he says, behold, I show you a wonderful secret that has been revealed. We shall not all sleep, but we, those that have believed, shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption, or corruptible, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And I'm looking forward to that day. And Paul goes on to say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be ye steadfast, because we have that victory. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. As we go through this today, you're going to see that we don't only have just the ultimate victory of eternal life in the future, but God tells us that we have present day victory. And of course, we know that that's through Jesus Christ, just like we were told there. But let me tell you right up front, it is not going to be easy. And I don't know really where we got this mentality. If we study the New Testament especially, we can see how much the New Testament church suffered. We can see how much Jesus Christ suffered. And yet we as Christians today think it's supposed to be easy. Folks, it's not easy. Living the Christian life, and I'm talking about really living it. Now, you can come on Sunday morning, sit there, warm your pew, go home, and do nothing throughout the week, and it probably is easy. But if you're really living a Christian life, it's going to be the hardest thing you've ever done. God, in fact, calls it warfare. Now, you don't go to a war zone and sit there and just do nothing, do you? You have to actively get involved. And the same thing is true in our Christian life. We have to resist the devil. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get a little bit tired of resisting. You know, I resist, get rid of him. Next thing you know, here he is back. I'm like, what are you doing back? Well, the God never said he wouldn't come back. He just told us to keep resisting him. We also have to take every single thought captive unto the obedience of Jesus Christ. Now, if you stop and think about that, we're not real good at that. We let a lot of thoughts go through our minds throughout the day that we do not take captive. And there is a great danger in just having the TV on or just having the radio on for the noise, because they are putting thoughts into our heads. And a lot of times it's not thoughts that we need to be thinking. So we have to take every thought captive. The Bible also tells us that we have to stand and keep on standing. That tells me it's going to be hard. Paul says when you've done all to stand, just keep on standing. The Bible also tells us that we have to hold fast. And it is very difficult to do these things, but it is also very doable. It's very doable. God, well, we just did a study a while back about the 12 apostles, and we called them 12 ordinary men. And they were very ordinary men, but we can read in the Bible and see how God took those 12 ordinary men and empowered them through the Holy Spirit and what they accomplished. And if God can do it through them, He can do it through us. And that's why it's so important for us to have the mentality of a victor, to have the attitude of somebody that understands we're supposed to be living victoriously. So we're going to be looking at some of those attributes, some of those characteristics. And we may not even get through this morning, but if we don't, we'll probably finish up tonight. But the first characteristic of a person with a victor's attitude is that they always expect to win. By choice, they always expect to win. Now, folks, we have to make that choice. We have to choose to always expect to win. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible says, "Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place," which always causes us to triumph. In everything that we go into, everything that we do, we as Christians should expect to win. Now, call me overly optimistic if you want to. But when the Bible says that God causes me to always triumph, and that I am more than a conqueror, and that I can do all things through Christ, and that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world, then I'm going to believe that, and I'm going to stand on that. And with promises like that, why would we not go into everything that we do expecting to win? We have God's promises. We just have to learn how to stand on them. We sing the song, "Standing on the Promises," but we really don't do that, do we? We need to learn to stand on those promises and really follow God's word and expect to win in every situation. And again, it's a battle. It's warfare. We do have to fight the fight. But we can win in every situation because God says He always causes us to triumph. Now, the second attribute of someone with a victor's attitude is that they never stay down. Now, contrary to popular belief, people who have a victor's attitude do get down. They just don't stay down. Yeah, they're a whole lot like the little boy. And I may have told you about this little boy before, but there's a little boy that kept getting in trouble during the worship service. His mother kept setting him down. And finally, she set him down pretty sternly and said, "I told you to sit down or you're in big trouble." And he looked at his mom and said, well, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. And of course, that's not a good attitude to have toward your mama, but that's the attitude that we need to have toward being about staying down. We need to stay up. We as Christians, and I want you to listen to me very, very closely right here. It simply does not matter how many times we get knocked down. It does not matter how many times we get knocked down. What matters is that every single time you get up one more time, that you refuse to stay down. Refuse to stay down. Folks, life is going to happen. It's going to happen. I read a gentleman on the internet this morning talking about, and he's a well-known evangelist. His wife has cancer and a lot of these other different things are going on. And he talked about how hard it is to stay up. But he said, God told us that we are perplexed, but we are not destroyed. And went through all the different things that Paul talked about. And what he was simply was saying was, we know we have to get back up every single time, because as long as we keep getting up, we're not defeated. As long as we keep getting up, we're going to win. And you look at Paul. Paul was imprisoned on several occasions. He was beaten. He took some beatings that I cannot imagine. Some of his beatings were up there very close to the scourging that Jesus Christ took. Very close. He was stoned one time so severely that they literally left him for dead. But you know what the Bible says right after that? It says he rose up and went back into the city. He got up one more time. If we have a victor's attitude, we're going to have a never stay down, a never quit attitude. We're going to have this attitude that no matter what happens, that God is on our side and we are going to rise back up, because God has put us here for a reason, and we're going to accomplish the reason and the purpose that he's given us. So whatever happens in your life, don't stay down. Refuse to stay down. The third characteristic of someone with a victor's attitude is that they are always looking to the future. Now, we have to enjoy the present. I'm not telling you not to enjoy the present. We must always enjoy the present. But folks, we need to always be looking for that next victory. Sadly, a lot of Christians dwell on the past. They live in the past. We cannot go back and change the past. You may have messed up royally in the past. I have messed up royally in the past. If you don't believe me, Diana can give you multiple stories. I talk to people every single day that have messed up tremendously in the past. But we cannot go back and change that, and as long as we're focused on the past and keep dwelling on the past, we cannot change the future. But if we'll look to the future and take our eyes off the past, then we can have a completely different future than we would otherwise. I like what Paul says in Philippians 3:13. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And if you look at the life of Paul, you know he had a horrible past. He went around and persecuted the church. He literally killed Christians in the name of God because he thought he was doing God's will. And I'm sure if Paul would let it, that would have come back and haunted him all the time. But he said, I forget those things. And I push toward the mark of the high calling of God. And that's exactly what we need to do. We need to push toward the mark of the high calling of God, and realize that God has put a calling on our life. And the Bible says that God's gifts and God's calling are without repentance. And it's never too late. I was talking to a buddy of mine, well, a high school buddy, actually, that I've only seen once for about 5 minutes since high school, but God has brought us back together. And this guy's going through all sorts of turmoil right now. And we sat down the other day when we were at the state meeting, and he told me, he said, Greg, I've been in the wrong career my entire life. Now you think about that. He's saying, I've been in the wrong career for 30 years. And he's made extremely good money. He's in the middle of this this change, but he's a computer consultant that goes around the nation consulting businesses. And he told me, he said, I make tons of money, but I'm in the wrong career. So guess what he's doing? He's taking a job at Walgreens until he can get into the career that God has told him to go into, which is teaching in school. He's got to go through different programs and stuff. But he said, I realize I've got at least 15 to 20 years left, and it's not too late for me to do what God called me to do 30 years ago. So if you think you've messed up and you've just completely blown it and you can change it, then change it. God will bless you for it. The third or the fourth thing that someone with a victor's attitude has is a great attitude. Now, folks, we as Christians ought to have a great attitude every single day of our life, and it ought to be visible. I think I shared with you a while back when I went to Price Cutter and was going through the line, and I asked the lady how she was doing, and I don't remember her exact words, but something about, you know, I'm doing great. This is the day that God's made, and I'm going to rejoice in it. And I'm like, wow, this is refreshing. And usually they tell you how they're doing. Oh, we as Christians do the same thing, but we ought to have a great attitude. I like what Paul says over in Philippians. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Now, we read that and think, oh, that's nice, that's sweet. Well, folks, two things. First of all, we need to understand that Paul wrote this from prison. And it wasn't the kind of prisons we know today. Even as bad as they are, he was writing this from a dungeon. And basically what he was saying was rejoice in the Lord no matter what. Amen. Isn't that always? In the good times and the not so good times and in the horrible times, we need to rejoice in the Lord. And we all know about the time that Paul and Silas were in prison. It says at midnight that they were praising and singing unto the Lord. And we know how that God sent a prison-shaking earthquake that broke the chains and opened the doors and set Paul and Silas free. And I am here to tell you that all started with their attitude. Most of us, if we were in prison, especially for preaching the gospel or doing something good, would sit there and go, God, why am I here? I'm trying to serve you. I'm trying to do what you want me to do. And here I am in prison. I thought you were taking care of me, God. Where are you when I need you? But Paul and Silas were praising God at midnight. No matter what, they understood that God was worthy of praise. And folks, I realize that many of us may be going through a midnight prison experience in our life right now. First thing you ought to be doing is praising God. Who else is going to be able to deliver you? Nobody. Nobody's going to be able to, but God can, and the Bible tells us that we ought to do just like Paul did. We ought to keep praising God. We ought to keep worshiping God. And we ought to keep expecting God to set us free and to deliver us. That's what always triumphing is. And over in Psalms 91, it says that God delivers us out of all of our afflictions and out of all of our trouble. And we've seen in the Bible where Jehoshaphat and Judah were being ambushed by three different nations. And again, this is a fascinating story. Now, I know I use this a lot, but it's just overwhelming to me how important praising God is. Jehoshaphat and Judah knew that they had no way of defeating these armies on their own. Three armies against one. And apparently it was a major deal because Jehoshaphat called all of Judah to fast for 3 days. And at the end of those 3 days, the armies that were going to attack Jehoshaphat and Judah set up an ambush against each other, killed each other, and all Jehoshaphat and Judah had to do was go collect the spoil. Amen. Now, folks, let me put it to you this way. A lot of times when we're out there fighting the fight, and I've already said this is warfare, but there's times that we just need to just sit back and praise God and ask God, God, what is your leading? What is your guidance? I'm believing you. Amen. I'm trusting you. And if you show me something to do, I'll do it. And until then, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to fast and pray and seek you and wait on your guidance. We get into a lot of battles that we should not be in. If Jehoshaphat and Judah had gone out there, they would have lost. The Bible tells us that we can do all things through Christ, who is our strength. If we try to do it on our own, we cannot do it, but we need to understand that we are full of God's power, and we need to have a great attitude. To me, one of the best illustrations of a great attitude that I've ever heard is about the little boy that was in his backyard, and he was practicing hitting the baseball. And he took the baseball, he looked at it, and he said, "I'm the greatest batter that ever lived." He threw it up and swung real hard and missed. Or he grabbed the ball, looked at it again, said, "I said, I am the greatest batter that has ever lived." He took the ball, threw it up in the air, swung and missed. He picked up the ball again, and with all the determination he had, he said, "I am the greatest batter in the world." He threw the ball up and swung as hard as he could and missed. He picked up the ball. He looked at it. He said, "Well, what do you know? I'm the greatest pitcher in the world." That's a great attitude, isn't it? He could have sat there and whined and moaned and said, "You know, why can't I hit this ball? I'm trying to hit it." But he kept a great attitude. And folks, we need to have a great attitude. And yes, sometimes in warfare it is difficult to keep a great attitude. But we need to understand that we are the children of the Most High God, and that He is our guide and our protector and our provider. And He is the one that we're relying on. And that will help us keep a great attitude. The fifth characteristic I want us to look at this morning is that we that have a victor's attitude, we prove to the enemy that we are more determined than he is. Now, you have to admit, Satan is a determined dude. He is persistent. But over in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul tells us, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God." Let me stop right there a second. That is one of the keys that we as Christians don't follow. We take some of the armor of God. The Bible says to take all of the armor, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, keep on standing. Be determined. Be persistent. And then it says, having your loins girded about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench 1 out of 10 fiery darts. It says all the fiery darts, doesn't it? How many of the devil's darts ought to get through to us? None. Jesus Christ, through Paul and the Holy Spirit here, tells us that we should be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked. And again, you can see the tremendous pressure in the warfare here. This wasn't just darts. This was fiery darts. And we're not talking about the little bitty darts that you throw at a wall. We're talking about big old arrows that have the fireballs on the end of them. We're talking about some huge challenges, some major obstacles and problems and troubles. But the Bible says that we will be able to quench all of the fiery darts. So a person with a victor's attitude stands strong against the enemy through faith. Again, it takes commitment, it takes effort, it takes determination. It's going to take everything within you. But that's just the key. It's everything within us. When we feel like we cannot go on any longer, then we need to remember that we are strong in the Lord. And we need to remember that it's through His might that we can keep on standing and that we can keep on resisting. And we need to realize that we are more than conquerors, and we need to hold fast to the Word of God and not turn loose of it for any reason at all. I am thoroughly convinced that we as Christians, and when I say we as Christians, I'm talking about Christians in general, that very few are thoroughly convinced that God's Word is absolute truth and that we need to hold on to it no matter what's going on in our life, no matter what the circumstances say, no matter what's happening in our life, around us, in our nation, no matter. It is absolute truth. And we need to be absolutely, thoroughly convinced of that. Which leads me to our sixth point, our final point this morning. Someone with a victor's attitude has an attitude of faith. I want you to listen to me very, very closely for just a second. You cannot have faith and be depressed. You cannot. I mean, you might have a moment of depression. Now, I'm talking about depressed in the long run, okay? Faith looks to God and focuses on God and says, yes, our God is greater than all these things. Depression looks at the problem. Worry looks at the problem. We need to have faith and stand on that faith and hold to that faith. If you have cancer and you go to the doctor and the doctor tells you, now we're going to have to go through all these different treatments, but I promise you at the end of all these treatments, through all the hard times, through all the difficult times, if you'll just keep believing with me, this is a 100% cure for cancer. You're going to leave his office excited, aren't you? If you know there is 100% cure for that cancer, you're willing to go through all the difficult times and through all the challenges, and most people that have cancer don't have 100% guarantee. But if you did, you're going to leave there happy and excited and say, yes, I know I've got some difficult times to go through and some hard times to go through, but the doctor has promised me that I'm going to be completely cured and completely healed. Well, folks, it's the same in our spiritual life. If I share with you that God has a solution to your problem, whatever it is, a relationship problem, a spiritual problem, a health problem, a financial problem, and you're still worried and depressed, then it's one of two things. Either you did not get what God's Word said about your situation, or you just don't believe God. If we really have faith, if we really believe God, then those circumstances aren't going to affect us. Again, going back to Paul, remember when he was shipwrecked and he was headed on his way to Rome? God had already told Paul, you are going to Rome. And here Paul was shipwrecked. And he told the captain of the ship, said, don't worry about it, God's going to spare all of us. Well, don't you know that captain thought he was completely loony? And then after they get over on the island, you know, the captain has to be wondering, okay, who is this guy? And how did we save everybody? We should have not saved anybody in a situation like that. And they're all kind of gathered around the fire, and Paul reaches down to put another stick of wood on the fire. Remember the snake jumped out and bit him? And they all stood back waiting on him to die? Paul wasn't waiting to die. He said, the Bible says he shook the snake off. He shook it off because he already had a word from God that said, you are going to Rome. Folks, when we have a promise of God, we have a promise of the Most High God. Amen. And we need to have absolute faith in that, and we need to get excited that God has made us the promises that we have. That's why he said we can always and should always be conquerors through him, and that we should always be victorious through him. Because he's made us those promises, and God cannot lie. Not he won't. He cannot. He cannot. If you study the blood covenant, God cannot lie. So his word is truth. And I've heard people that say, well, I tried to do this or I tried to do that, and it didn't work. Well, I don't know what the deal was, you know, in different situations there, but this much I do know, God's word is still true. There's something in their life, they either didn't have the faith or they were out of God's will in some area or something, but God's word is true. When he makes us a promise, it is absolute truth. And we can stand on it. So in closing this morning, I want to encourage you to do three things. First of all, like I said at the very beginning, I want you to make sure that you are a Christian. I want you to make absolutely sure that you are saved and you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you're saved, because if you're not saved, then nothing that we talked about today pertains to you. You do not have victory. All you have is defeat in your life. It might look like you're accomplishing great things, but you are absolutely in a horrible situation and don't even realize it. So before you leave today, you need to make sure of your salvation. The second thing I want to encourage you to do is to develop a victor's attitude. And it's a choice. And you may have gone your whole life and lived with a bad, negative attitude, but you can choose today to change that. And I told you at the very beginning that I've been struggling with this. Well, you know I've got probably one of the best attitudes in the whole world, but guess what? We struggle. We all struggle from time to time. And God's doing some things in our lives right now that I'm like, God, this is way too big for me. And I'm really having a hard time saying, okay, it's all yours, but guess what? I have no other choice. It is all His. And we're going to stick to it, and we're going to do the things He's told us to do, and we're going to believe Him, and we're going to watch how He brings us through this and how He's going to make us come out victorious to His glory. And the third thing I want to encourage you to do is to be a winner, not a whiner. For those of you that have ever been in my office at the house, I've got a big old sign on my desk that says, no whining. Whining never solved anything. In fact, it just makes the problem worse. But a victor's attitude has solved a number of things and will continue to solve things, because we as Christians, when we have that victor's attitude, we are putting our faith in God and we're saying, God, I know that You can do this. You've done things far beyond this. I'm believing You and I'm trusting You and I'm putting my faith completely in You. A lot of times we like to go on what we can see, but folks, we don't go as Christians on what we can see. We go on what we can faith. We live by faith. We don't live by sight. If we live by sight, it's a miserable, horrible world. Circumstances are horrible. But we're living by faith. We're trusting God. And we're going to do the things that we talked about this morning. We're going to keep that great attitude. And we're going to hold on fast, and we're going to stand in the faith, and we're going to just keep being persistent and relying upon God and letting Him win the victory for us. Let's stand and let's pray this morning. Father, I come before You. And I know right now, Father, that some of us are going through some very hard challenges. I'm one of those. God, I also know that You're so much bigger than our problems, so much bigger than our challenges. You've given us Your word to stand on and rely upon. And Father, if there's anyone here today that's struggling, that would like to have prayer and would like to have us agree with them, that they can just keep standing and keep being persistent and show the devil that they are determined that they're going to come out as a winner through Jesus Christ. I pray that You'd give them the courage to bring that need before You this morning and to lay it here on this altar, and to turn around and walk off and just to leave it there. And Father, we thank You so much that You've told us in Your word that we will always triumph through Jesus Christ our Lord. Of course, we know that we can't do that on our own, but Father, we also know that it's Jesus who is our strength. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And Father, we believe and we put all of our trust and all of our hope in Him this morning. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.